Sunday mornings, we want to interact with the others of this Sunday Lord's Supper, and but a couple weeks ago we looked at chapter 5. Now these early chapters, chapter 5, chapter 6, just so you know, they are chapters. Let's just turn this on, okay? They are chapters that set a foundation, so they're not real adventuresome. They're not things that like are exciting to the degree that a lot of the book of Exodus is going to be very exciting, very like almost keep you on the edge of your seat, almost like cliffhangers till the next chapter. And so these are like foundational. Chapter 5, the foundational chapter that's important to set the foundation and the tone. And we have another foundational chapter in chapter 6. And so just keep that in mind as we're going through the book of Exodus. Sometimes when you go through books of the Bible, it's called expository preaching and teaching. And when you do that, you go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, then you just cover some things that is important, but it's just not quite maybe as exciting. And I think that's one of those services today. And so we hope that you'll understand that. Chapter 6. Now, we looked at chapter 5 2 weeks ago. In chapter 5, we have where Moses, being 80 years old, goes to see Pharaoh face to face. Now, for those who don't know, and I assume everybody probably knows, but you know, Moses was put in a basket when he was just an infant. A little ark, handmade mama ark, was put in the Nile River, and she just put him out there because all boy Hebrew babies were going to be killed. And so she kept him as long as she could, 3 months. Him out there in the Nile River, and of all the people that found him was Pharaoh's daughter, who took a liking to him, who loved him, who took him home, who adopted him. He was raised for 40 years in the palace. He was raised and trained and taught to be a leader, to be a military strategist. So God would plan all that, and then he saw where his people, the Hebrew people, were being mistreated by the Egyptians. And that's when he rose up and killed the guy for being mean to a slave, Hebrew slave. And lo and behold, he ran. And for 40 years, he was a shepherd. And then in chapters 5 and chapter 6, he's 80 years old. And he has now been picked by God himself to be the deliverer of the Hebrew slaves. And so that's where we're at in chapters 5 and chapter 6. And so this week we'll continue where we left off last week, because Moses and Aaron goes to Pharaoh, and two weeks ago, and Pharaoh told Moses, "I don't know the God you speak of, nor do I want to know him." And so that's where we kind of left off at. And so Moses is simply questioning, like, God, like, you called me to do this. And he's not gonna let your people go. He don't know you. He don't fear you. And so he's kind of second guessing God's call upon his life. Maybe you're here today and you kind of wondered, like, hey, maybe my life hasn't gone as I thought it would go when I became a Christian. Maybe my life hasn't gone as well as I thought it would go, becoming a churchgoer and a server of the Most High God. And so we can kind of relate. Moses, and he thought the same thing. And so it should help us this morning. And so Moses said, not only will I not let my people go, but he said, now, because of that, I'm going to put extra burden upon them. I'm going to increase what they have to do as far as toil and labor. The Egyptians were providing straw for their brick-making business and labor from the slaves. And God and Moses said, from now on, they have to get their own straw. But they still have to keep the same quota. And so they put a heavy, heavy burden that was already upon God's people, these Hebrew slaves. And so that's kind of where we're at. And Moses, at the end of chapter 5, he goes to the Lord and he says, why me? He goes to the Lord and says, why this task? And he goes to the Lord and says, why now? I'm 80 years old. Why now? So he's a little frustrated. He's questioning God. Sometimes we do that. And so we see it come together here. Now in verse 6, here's God's answer to them. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go. And with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. So here is Moses doing what God has called him to do. He's in the will of God, no doubt about it. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. But so far, he feels like a failure. He feels like I'm spinning my wheels. He said, I'm not going to get anywhere with this guy. And so he goes to the Lord saying, why me? Why now? And God simply, his response, not to reprimand him. Not to rebuke him. Not to bring reproach upon him for him asking the question. We don't serve that guy, God. But he simply answers him, I will show you. I'll show you what I'm capable of doing. And not only will I use a strong hand to get his attention, but I'll use a strong hand where he, Pharaoh, will help us get those slaves delivered. God has a plan. He knows the beginning from the end. And so in the story here, Pharaoh increases the workload, and the Hebrew slaves turn against Moses. Moses went to bat for them, and it turned backwards, it reversed it, and now the slaves are mad at their deliverer, their leader, Moses. And now, being a slave is more bitter. Now being a slave is harder. Now being a slave, the tasks are heavier. I mean, every aspect, every metric of being a slave got worse because they blame Moses. And God simply reassures Moses, with a strong hand shall he, Pharaoh, let them go. Now God has more in mind than just this first episode, this first week. God sees the beginning from the end. God knows what tomorrow brings. We don't. We just have to have faith. And so God has more in mind than just breaking Pharaoh. God didn't need nobody's permission to free the slaves. God's very capable of doing those kinds of things. But God's got it all planned out. God's got it all worked out. Sometimes he don't share those specific details with us, nor did he share them with Moses. God is establishing his chosen people. That's the big game plan here. That's the big picture. Is he's simply establishing among his chosen people. But he's also a cohesive nation. He's put it all together, the people, the nation, and he wants a people and a nation that will be ruled by the true one and only God. So that's what he's doing behind the scenes. And so he's doing it using, he's going to do it by using a servant that's obedient, by Moses. And so God has chosen them. In return, God wanted them to embrace him as their God. And remember, these Hebrews have been in bondage for over 400 years. They've been under the whip, under the taskmasters, under them, pushing them every day for over 400 years of hard labor. And so Moses has the task to simply trust God, follow his directions, and to lead them in that way. And can I just tell you and me today and us here this morning that God gives you and I a choice in life. There's things that he says that he wants us to do, but you have the choice. I have the choice. And we are to embrace God. Matter of fact, God wants us to choose God because it's best for us. But so many times we don't do that. But it's a matter of individual choice. Just recently, Cheryl and I went to the Southern Baptist Convention in Indianapolis, and 3 days prior to that, we went to Berlin, Ohio. Berlin, south of Columbus, if you're thinking about the map there, it'll be a small town, Amish community. And so we were there a couple years ago and kind of fell in love with that little town. You kind of just step back in time and just see their wonderful lifestyle, their wonderful life. And they're not ashamed of it. They're out there front and center doing what they do. And it just takes you back into seemingly simpler times. I don't know how simple it is, but it just seems like it is. It's refreshing to see families and see them together and doing the craftsmanship that they put into things. And anyway, we were at breakfast, and a pastor friend of mine from upstate Ohio met us down there for breakfast. So while we're eating breakfast, we're in an Amish restaurant that was highly recommended. And of course, you go to Amish land to go to the Amish restaurants. You go there to go to the Amish bakeries. You go there to go to the Amish pastry shops. And it was a wonderful, wonderful week. But while we were there, my pastor friend, while we were ordering breakfast, asked our waitress in the Amish restaurant. He said, "Are you Amish?" And she looked at him and said, "Not anymore." He said, "Not anymore? How can you not be Amish anymore? Aren't you born Amish?" And so she gave us a little Amish education there, 101, and just said, "Yeah, what you might not know is that, you know, Amish can make a choice. They can make a choice whether they want to be Amish or whether they don't want to be Amish." And I just made the choice to not be Amish. And by the way, she said, my parents didn't disown me. They didn't shun me. Well, maybe that's a rumor, or maybe that's something people think happened. Maybe that does happen in some sects. I don't know. But the bottom line is, she's telling us that at the table. And she says, "Now, the reason my parents wanted me to be Amish is because they wanted the best for me, and they thought being Amish would be the best for me." Well, that's the same thing we have with God. We have a choice. And God wants us to embrace him as God and his son Jesus as our Savior. But we have a choice in that. Just like that, God wants the best for us. But there's a lot of people that say, "I'm going to do it on my own. I've got this. I can handle this decision. I might accept him later, but not now." But that's exactly what we see here. Hey, we have a choice in the matter. And so did, and that's what God wanted for the Hebrew slaves. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever," there it is, a choice, "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word "saved" is not a Baptist word. The word "saved" is not a Spratly Baptist church word. The word "saved" is not a Southern Baptist seminary word. The word "saved" is a Bible word. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so we have a choice in the matter. And the choice is, do you want Jesus as your Savior? And you've got to call upon Him, and He will save you from your sin. He said, I came to seek and save that which were lost. That's what He's come for. But you and I have a choice in it. It's a free will choice. And so that's what we see here. And so Moses is frustrated in God's will. And Moses is, and Pharaoh has given him, like, I don't need to talk to you anymore. I don't know who you are. And you're not getting my people. I'm going to put more burden, harder work, longer hours upon the slaves. And so just like Moses, who got a little frustrated, let me encourage us today. No matter how much the enemy may roar, the enemy may rage against us, the enemy is no match for our God. And so whatever we're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever the circumstance, the situation is today, and just remember, greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world.
Amen.
Greater is He that's in us than He that is in the world. He's going to show up. The enemy's there. But we can be assured based on the promise of God that, hey, He's with us. He's with you. He's with me. And no matter how beat down, how crushed, how broken, how desperate you might feel at times, or you might have felt in your life, I'm here to tell you, hey, God still cares. He's still on the throne. You're important to God. God wins. God wins. You've got to have some patience. So look what God tells Moses. With a strong hand shall he, Pharaoh, let them go. And with a strong hand shall he drive them out. So he's telling two things, man. Hey, Moses, you don't know the whole story. I already know the whole story. And he said, man, hey, it's going to come together. It's going to work out. Romans tells us that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. When God answers Moses' frustration, God don't answer him with is, buts, perhaps, hope-sos about it. He's a promise keeper. He's a promise maker. He keeps His promise. The Word says He is faithful. He is faithful in all things. And what He's saying to Moses is, look, you don't know yet, but it's as good as done. They're going to get released. They're going to get out of Egypt. They're going to be free. They're going to a place called the Promised Land. Hey, it's as good as done, cause God said so. Now Moses got some learning to do. We've got some learning to do. Moses has some growing to do, maturing to do. Maybe we do too. But because God's Word says it, you can bank on it and you can mark it down because God said so. Look at verse 2. And God spoke unto Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I'm the Eternal One. I'm the Lord. Isaiah says this, Isaiah, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but shall accomplish that which I please. And he said, I am the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure that a crowd this size this morning, our crowd's down a little bit today, but even a crowd the size that we have here this morning, I'm sure there's people here, maybe multiple people here, that they had a day going good. Their day was really going good, just humming along. Everything was just in line. Everything was pretty routine. And it went from good to bad to worse. All of a sudden, your good day, now hope is low. Maybe the schedule became too busy. Maybe the walls literally seemed to cave in. Maybe there was heartbreaking news that you discovered. Maybe the wheels just came off. We all can understand those terms. Maybe the prognosis was grim. But God tells Moses the same thing I want to tell you. I am the Lord. He's the same Lord today as He was for Moses. He's our Lord. He's in control. He's in charge. He understands our hearts. He understands our desires. He understands our circumstances. And I want to look at verse 3 here. Look what it says there in verse 3. He says, And I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty. Or not by the name of God. I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But my name, Jehovah, was I not known to thee. What an amazing statement in verse 3. And he's talking about that. Here's what I've done. He said, I appeared to them by this name. Now, the name that he appeared to them in was simply Elohim. In the beginning, God. Elohim. He's creator. Elohim. He is governor of the universe. Elohim. He is over creation, over the creatures. And God said, I appeared to these three men, these three founders, these three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God said, I promised them something. I fulfilled my promise. I delivered on my word. And he said, and now he's talking to Moses, who's skeptical. And it's clear enough how he had already promised them and who his new name was going to be. And so I want us to know that God goes by different names, new names, and different names. He's all one God. Got your back. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for me. And he's lining out to Moses about different things he's done in different ways. And what a wonderful God we serve. What a blessing to be able to simply rely on the promise keeper. We have these promise keeper meetings for men. I'm telling you, the original promise keeper is God himself. The original promise keeper's always kept his promises. And you can bank on it. And God's saying, Moses, I know what I've asked you to do. But not only do I know what I've asked you to do, I already know the outcome. I'm in this thing with you. I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to free them. I'm going to redeem. And so that's what he talks about. I want you to also know that Moses, at this age, can't really imagine what lies ahead. You know, he's just a man. He's been used by God. He's been called upon God. And he's doing some amazing things already. His life story is an amazing story. But can I tell you that when the devil shoots darts at you, when the devil, the enemy, shows up, and we talked about that a second ago, I want you to know that in the book of Revelation, it talks about when the devil will be no more. As a matter of fact, in Revelation 20, it talks about him being removed from. In Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3, I call it Goodbye Satan chapter. Goodbye Devil chapter. Because God's going to lock him up and God's going to do away with him. And so we're not going to have to deal with that anymore. We can just trust the Lord. And we can know the outcome one day is going to be for our good and for God's glory. In chapter 6, verse 5, and I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. So again, he's just reminding Moses that I've heard the prayers, I've heard the pleas, I've heard the groanings of those slaves. And groaning means a plea for help. And they're reaching out to a God in heaven because of the over burdens, the grief, the sorrow they're experiencing. God hears their groanings. What is he saying there? Friends, we have a real God. He's not make-believe. We have a real God that's just not in the Bible. We have a real God, the same God that's in the Bible, who knows our sorrows. We have a God that only knows our sorrows, but he sympathizes with our sorrows. With understanding. And in Hebrews it says, we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In Psalm 56 it says, God puts all our tears in a bottle that we remember. That's a God that cares. He understands what we go through in life. Friends, if you're here today, I just want to remind you, we serve a God who picks us up when we're down. If you're here this morning and you're a little troubled, maybe depressed, maybe in despair that nobody knows but you and God, he's the expert master to bring us out of that. We're not alone. He's with us. You're not by yourself. God cares. He hears. He knows. He's got it. In verse 6, God tells Moses what to say to the Israelites that oppose what he's trying to do. So God gives them instruction. He says there that I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. He says, Moses, tell them. He goes on to say, tell them, I will rid you of your bondage. He goes on to say, I will redeem you. He goes on to say, I will take you to me for a people. He goes on to say, I will be your God. He goes on to say, I will bring you into the land, the promised land. And he goes on to say, verse 8, I will give it to you as a heritage. You're an inheritance. Man, 1, 2, 3. Promise after promise after promise to these people that's been groaning and God's hearing it. Man, he'll just give one promise, but he gives one promise after another promise after another promise. The content and the meat of these verses grow out of an agreement that God has extended to the nation, to Moses, to the Hebrew people. 7 promises, beginning with, I will. I mean, he says, I will. I will bring you out. I will rescue you. I will redeem you. I will be your God. I will take you as my people. I will bring you to the land of promise. I will give you an heritage. My good God. What a good God that we serve. 1 Peter 1:18. We were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, not only was God giving Moses words to encourage the Hebrew slaves, but over in the New Testament, it goes a step further. It talks about the ultimate freedom, the ultimate redemption, the ultimate way out of bondage and out of slavery that God extends to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I will take you to me for a people. You have a real relationship with me, he said. And together we have a nation called Israel. Of all the people groups out there, of all the millions and millions of people that's going to ever populate the world, in God. Is choosing. They land nothing to offer God. God had never been offered them. He chose them and set them up for prosperity, success, eternal life, promises, and the manna from heaven, all the things that the promised land would bring them. God made them his peculiar treasure, Scripture calls it. Objects of his care. Objects of his favor. We who, for Christ's sakes, are simply known as his peculiar treasure. You're not just somebody. I'm not just somebody. We're not somebody just kind of getting along here, just getting by until we die and go to heaven. No, we're His. We belong to Him. He's adopted us. We're part of His family. And we need to never forget that. I will bring you into the land through all their many hardships that they're facing, through some unbelief on their part as well as from the murmuring and the complaining that they simply did. God eventually brought them to Canaan, brought them to a place that simply flourished with no none. What an amazing God they serve. What an amazing God that we serve. I'll give you an heritage, He says. A heritage. That which would, that something they would inherit through the established covenant of their God. And so it's pretty amazing and pretty deep. Look at verse 9. We have to hurry here. Verse 9. The Bible says that Moses spake unto the children of Israel. But they hearkened not unto Moses, for anguish of the spirit and for cruel bondage. The people didn't accept Moses' words. They were anguished in their spirit. They were under cruel bondage, verse 9 says. Moses had been excited about all that God had to say and that he was a messenger. And the people didn't want to listen. They didn't want to hear it. And the takeaway to those verses is they may as well get on board because God's promises are going to come true and they're going to be relieved of their duties from that. In verses 10 through 13, God said to Moses, go face Pharaoh. Tell him what you told him last time. Let the children of God go. And Moses is saying, like, the children of Israel won't listen to me. Why would I expect Pharaoh, who didn't listen to me last time, to listen to me this time? Can I just put it all together for you? Here we go. Remember Moses, as great as he seems in our eyes, just a man. He's not Superman. He's just a man. He's not superhero. He's just a man. He's not super spiritual. He's an ordinary person with human tendencies. The difference is that Moses is going to eventually dive into deep faith and trust. And he's going to overcome these human frailties and end up doing great things for God. When Moses faces the Red Sea with these folks, it's leaving Dodge or leaving Egypt in about 20 chapters from now. There they are. There's the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his armies are coming. They're stuck. It looks like they're in a jam. God didn't move the Red Sea. He didn't move the problem. He parted the problem. Sometimes God doesn't move our problems, things that we're dealing with. Sometimes God just makes a way. That's exactly what we see happens in the story of these children of Israel. So you don't want to miss it. Get ready. In chapter 7, the battles begin to take place between God and Pharaoh. And God's man, Moses, is going to go up against the magicians of Egypt. Over the New Testament, 2 Timothy, it gives two names, and it's referenced back to Peter in Exodus. and they're representatives of Satan. These magicians that are here, that we're going to see next week, are not next week, for 2 weeks from now, they're representatives of the of Satan. That's who Pharaoh is going to use. That's all he had. And those magicians are going to mock God, Moses' God. And then they're going to mimic Moses' God. They're going to do some of the same signs and wonders of God. So you don't want to miss it. It's going to be showdown time. We get in past in chapter 7 and 4. You don't want to miss it. So as a close, let me say this. 430 years, these slaves were in Egyptian bondage. 430 years. I say that because God may not always do things on your timetable or my timetable. He could. Some people maybe think he should. He don't come on our timetable, but he always comes. He comes on his time. And we're going to see his time unfold here in the great book of Exodus. God is our provider. God is our protector. God is our sustainer. God is there for us to trust him and him only, with never failing promises. It's not why we trusted him, but who are we trusting? And we're going to trust in the truth and the living God. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. What an amazing dialogue between God and us. And God assures him over and over again, I've got it. I've got your back. I've got this covered. You just do what I say. You trust me. And I know how you got it. Maybe you're here to need that message. If you're going something, you want them to rid the problem, maybe God will just make a way through the problem or around the problem. Leave it to God. Trust him. We talk about it all the time. Just trust him. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this chapter. We thank you for the book of Exodus. And Father, we just pray that we leave this place today knowing that we serve a good God. A God that has time for each and every one of us. A God that each and every one of us matters to him. And a God that he is in tune to us with. We just pray you. Give us peace. Give us patience as we simply trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. The room's going to be extended today. All right. If we can help you anyway, we're here for you. Love to pray with you. Love to pray with you. Here today, you never trust in Christ. Whosoever to call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never done that, you can do that today. Here today, if you never follow Christ in believer's mindset, follow his guidance. Come and talk to us about it. We'd love to pay what Scripture says about it. Anybody? We're church today. We're assembled with people that are like-minded and love us. We're here for
that. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Hey, thy cross.
Now, let's pray.
He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. My Savior calling you. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross falling.
Anybody?
He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory.
Thank you so much for your time.